Hello, I'm Father Joe Roche of the Marian Fathers of the Immaculate Conception. Thank you for joining us as we continue with our year-long journey reading the diary of St. Maria Faustina Kowalska from beginning to end. Today we take up from where we left off, beginning with diary entry number 749. Conversation with Father Andrasch at the end of the retreat. I was greatly surprised by one thing that I noticed during each conversation, in the course of which I had asked advice and direction of Father Andrasch, and it is this. I noticed that Father Andrasch answered all my questions about things which the Lord had asked of me so clearly and with such assurance that it was as though he were experiencing it all himself. O my Jesus, if only there were more spiritual directors of this kind, souls under such guidance would very quickly reach the summits of sanctity and would not waste such great graces. I give unceasing thanks to God for so great a grace, namely, that in His great goodness He has deigned to place these pillars of light along the path of my spiritual life. They light my way so that I do not go astray or become delayed in my journey toward close union with the Lord. I have a great love for the Church, which educates souls and leads them to God. October 31st, 1936, conversation with Mother General Michael. When I was talking to Mother General about the question of my leaving the order, I received this answer. If Jesus demands of you that you leave this congregation, let him give me some sign that this is his will. Sister, pray for such a sign, because I am worried lest you should fall prey to some illusion. On the other hand, I would not want to hinder or oppose the will of God, for I too want to do the will of God. And so we agreed that I will still remain just as I am until such time as the Lord will let Mother General know that he demands that I leave this congregation. And so the matter was put off for a while. And so you see, Jesus, that everything is now up to you. I am perfectly at peace, despite these great urgings. For my part, I have done everything, and it is now your turn, my Jesus, and in this way, your cause will be made apparent. I am totally in accord with your will. Do with me as you please, O Lord, but only grant me the grace of loving you more and more ardently. This is most precious to me. I desire nothing but you, O love eternal. It matters not along what paths you will lead me, paths of pain or paths of joy. I want to love you at every moment of my life. If you tell me to leave, O Jesus, in order to carry out your will, I will leave. If you tell me to stay, I will stay. It matters not what I will suffer, in the one instance or the other. O my Jesus, if I leave, I know what I shall have to suffer and endure. I agree to this with full awareness, and I have already accepted it by an act of the will. It does not matter what the chalice holds for me. It is enough for me to know that it has been given to me by the loving hand of God. If you tell me to turn back and stay, I will stay, in spite of all the interior urgings. If you will keep them in my soul and leave me in this inner agony even to the end of my life, I accept this in the full consciousness of my will and in loving submission to you. O my God, if I stay, I shall hide myself in your mercy, my God, so deeply that no human eye will see me. Throughout my life, I want to be a thurible, filled with hidden fire, and may the smoke rising up to you, O living host, be pleasing to you. I feel in my own heart that every little sacrifice arouses the fire of my love for you, but in such a silent and secret way that no one will detect it. When I told Mother General that the Lord wanted the congregation to say the chaplet in order to propitiate God's anger, Mother told me that at present she could not introduce new prayers that had not yet been approved. "But give me the chaplet, sister," she said. "Perhaps it can be said during an adoration. We shall see. It would be good if Father Sopochko could publish a pamphlet with the chaplet. Then it would be better and easier to recite it in the congregation, for it is a bit difficult to do so now." Here, St. Faustina rejoices at what a gift Father Andrzej is to her. She is now in Krakow, and Father Sopochko is in Vilnius, so God provides another holy priest to guide her, Father Andrzej. All of these three are part of God's plan to spread the message and devotion of the Divine Mercy all over the world. She speaks to her Mother General, who says that Jesus should give her, the superior, a sign that Faustina should leave her congregation, if that is truly what Jesus wants. She wants to avoid an illusion or a temptation, and this is very wise. Saint Faustina surrenders everything into Jesus' hands. If he truly wants her to leave her congregation, he'll have to give some indication to the superior. Faustina can simply wait. That is the beauty of the vow of obedience. She surrenders to Jesus' will. It is not easy to not know the future and to have to live with so much uncertainty, but Faustina is ready to accept this cross. And apparently Jesus is also placing an urgency in her heart to do this. Jesus is like the hound of heaven when he calls us to a particular vocation. He doesn't change his mind and he doesn't let go. And we won't have any peace until we say yes. So that is what St. Faustina is experiencing, and yet it doesn't seem possible to move forward to respond to those inner urgings. Faustina tells the Mother General that Jesus wants the sisters to intercede for Poland with the Chaplet of Mercy, but the prayers have not yet been approved by church authorities. The superior hopes that Father Sopochko will be able to soon publish a pamphlet with the bishop's approval. Then it will be easier for them to do it in community. It's very interesting to see how Jesus always prefers that the sisters and Faustina obey their superiors and their spiritual directors, because he loves obedience, rather than simply obeying his requests that he gives through private revelation, because that has to always be discerned, and he wants to work in and through the church.